Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm your host, Tim Shanahan, and today we're going to talk about how to schedule your reading instruction. Now, this is what I refer to as a blast from the past. I wrote a blog that first posted on January 26, 2019 on this topic, and is being reposted on May 2nd, 2026. Now, usually when I write these blasts from the past, there's some reason, there's something that set it off. Quite often, people ask the question that had originally led me to write it. But in this case, I haven't received this kind of question lately, and yet the recent kerfuffle over how much phonics should be taught reminded me of it. It seems to be hip right now to talk generally about these things. Teach more phonics, teach less phonics. But more or less than what? And what else needs to be taught? I thought it'd be timely to reissue this one. I've added some research references and revised the writing, but the content's the same as it was 7 years ago. I've included a link to the 18 comments, the original blog had elicited as well. Now, this has never been in podcast form before, so if you're listening to this, there isn't a previous version. Okay, so here was the original question that I'd received. If you were teaching second grade, what would your schedule look like? And she, this was about reading, this was about literacy. So here was my response. I start from the premise that kids deserve 120 minutes to 180 minutes per day of reading and writing instruction. The more challenged the kids are, or the greater the learning gains we're seeking, the more time I want to devote to literacy. Now, given the ambitious learning goals we're striving for, look at your state standards, I see no possibility for success with fewer than 2 hours per day. On the other hand, no matter how great the literacy needs may be in your community, I can think of no situation where I'd devote more than 3 hours per day to these goals because of the importance of math, science, social studies, the arts. You can only do so much with a 6.5 hour school day, and that's the average. I know some of you have less hours and some have more. Considering various surveys and observational studies reported since the early 1960s, it appears that English language arts, long dominated by reading, usually gets about 90 minutes per day on average. This works out to about 2 hours per day in the primary grades and an hour in upper elementary classes, with a 90-minute average. Most schools these days are very proud of their 90-minute reading block. That means they've institutionalized the average. I push for a greater investment than that, 2 to 3 hours, with the idea that more time leads to more literacy learning, and there's good research supporting that. I don't love the idea of all schools providing equal amounts of reading instruction either, since that ensures that the lowest, least advantaged learners can never catch up. Another dimension of this has to do with the need for attention to multiple literacy components. Teaching devoted to word knowledge, oral reading fluency, writing, and reading comprehension all may lead to higher reading achievement. I'd pay roughly equal attention to all of these components, to each of these components. In some situations, such as with English learners, I can be persuaded to add explicit oral language instruction to this mix, dividing the time into five. One more thing. I'm not a big reading block fan. Block time can make it difficult to schedule a school day. There's no inherent learning benefit from block scheduling, and often I see kids get in less than the scheduled time because of questionable assumptions about block sanctity. If your school day begins at 8 a.m. and your literacy block goes from 8 to 9:30, what are the chances kids will receive 90 minutes of reading instruction? My bet and past observations say that the first 10 to 15 minutes, there'll be no teaching. Pledge of Allegiance, morning announcements, lunch money collection, attendance, pencil sharpening, circle time, and so on are not reading instruction. With these basics out of the way, let's start with a simple example. And I've got a little morning schedule here. 8:10 to 8:40, reading comprehension instruction. 8:40 to 9:10, text reading fluency. 9:10 to 9:40, word knowledge, including phonics, spelling, morphology. 9:40 to 10:10, writing. Now, if you think about that, what I've done is I've just put a half an hour for each of those topics and said I'd take them one at a time. Now, that plan would satisfy the criteria that I said earlier. We're teaching each of those. We're giving them roughly equal time. We're teaching for a full 2 hours. And in some cases, that schedule might even make sense. However, as noted, elementary school days can be pretty complicated. So let me give another, perhaps more realistic example. 8:10 to 9:10, that's an hour period, reading comprehension. 9:10 to 9:40 is 30 minutes for word knowledge instruction. 9:40 to 10:10 covers our text reading fluency. Now that one seems like a problem, I bet. Too much comprehension time at full hour and no writing at all. I probably wouldn't do this myself in grade two, admittedly, but I might in the upper grades. Often teachers at those levels want a greater amount of time for reading longer selections, and it's possible to trade reading comprehension and writing time across days. If this balances out over a couple of weeks, it's not a problem. You don't have to teach comprehension every day. You don't have to teach writing every day. So you can flip-flop those to give yourself a more extended period of time. However, I'd schedule the total reading comprehension time as a half an hour, an hour. I'd want the kids reading text during about half that time, rather than engaging in discussion or receiving explicit teaching from me. That isn't special to reading comprehension either. During phonics, kids should spend much of the time decoding and encoding words, and writing should involve lots of writing and revising, not just listening. Here's a third scheduling possibility. From 8:10 to 8:40, reading comprehension. We're back to the 30 minutes. 8:40 to 9:40, math. 9:40 to 10, 20 minutes, word knowledge. 10 to 10:30, art. 10:30 to 11, text reading fluency. 11 to 11:30, writing time. 11:30 to 12:30, lunch and recess. 12:30 to 12:40, word knowledge again, another 10 minutes. Now, this schedule shows that you don't need a reading block. It's not a problem to work on literacy, to do something else, and then to do more literacy. That won't interfere with learning. In this case, the school's math consultant hasn't read the research, but she's sure that morning teaching works best. That's not what the research says. I'm willing to keep her happy by adding math to my morning schedule, even if it bumps some literacy teaching to the afternoon. Oh, and the divided word knowledge time, that 20 minutes in the morning and then 10 more minutes in the afternoon, that can be problematic for some lessons. I wouldn't want to do that with writing or with reading comprehension, but in this case, it provides interval training. I could teach a skill in the morning, and later in the day have a productive review session with more practice. That kind of time spacing can lead to better recall. The word knowledge instruction that I'd provide would focus on decoding, spelling, and morphology. That instruction aims to make sure kids can read words, write words, and understand the meaning of words. And what about the text reading fluency teaching? It isn't enough that kids can read words. They must read them in text. And that's a somewhat different thing. There are lots of ways of doing it, but most often I'd engage kids in supervised paired reading practice. I'd divide the class into pairs. They'd take turns reading pages and giving feedback to each other. While they did that, I'd move from pair to pair to help with the reading and the feedback, to collect data on student performance, and to keep the kids on task. Another planning variant can free up additional time. What if today's reading comprehension lesson was taught with the science or social studies book, or the writing lesson was linked to that content? That would reduce the time needed to address an ambitious elementary curriculum. Of course, this kind of schedule says nothing about the interconnections between the parts. We can't tell from these agendas whether the kids will write about the text used for reading comprehension or whether the word work or fluency work will be based on that text. Perhaps the class is working on a project or report, and the texts used for reading comprehension are topical text sets. Those might be tied again to your social studies or science or art classes. The schedule may look the same whether the degree of integration is low or high. If my kids were especially low in literacy, I may increase the total time to as much as 3 hours. That would give me more time to address each component. I know some schools that require 2 hours for reading and writing and another half hour for in-class intervention time, providing reteaching opportunities for kids in need. Nothing wrong with that. One district I know fulfills that two-hour commitment, but then they add an additional 30 minutes a day to foster a love of reading. Reading to the kids, providing time for independent reading, computer games that are centered on literacy, book clubs. I'm not a big fan of that approach because those activities do little to improve reading ability, and there's no evidence that they lead to love of reading, but at least it isn't taking the place of the required reading instruction, which is really important to avoid. These examples are limited, but they highlight some important points, and here are what I think the takeaways are. The amount of instruction should be maximized and varied based on student need. Downtime and activities with low learning payoffs must be minimized. The actual amount of instruction students receive is more important than how much time is scheduled, and there is a difference. Schedules should be aimed at intended learning outcomes, not at activities one might want to use for teaching. Many different activities can be used to accomplish any learning goal. There's more than one way to teach something. Effectiveness is what matters. Literacy instruction should include lots of oral and silent reading, writing, decoding, spelling. Kids need explicit instruction and guided practice in doing these things. Schedules should be dynamic and flexible, allowing teachers to better meet the needs of students rather than honoring traditional and often unsubstantiated claims like kids learn more in the morning or small groups are always better than whole class. Those things just haven't proven to be true. Integration across the language arts and content areas can have a multiplier effect. They can save time for you. They can make your schedule much more manageable and give kids opportunities to learn a wider range of things. So that's my last word today on scheduling the reading block, scheduling reading and writing instruction. If you would like to get a written copy of this, go to Shanahan on Literacy and look for the blog, How Would You Schedule Reading Instruction, that is posting on May 2nd, 2026. The benefit of getting the written version is that, well, one, you can hand it out to your friends. Two, you can get the research references, and there are 9 research references in this entry, and so you might want those. There's also a link to the comments that the first version of this elicited. There are 18 comments, and readers often find those to be useful. With that, I want to thank our sound engineer, Greg Johnson, and thank you for tuning in. I hope to see you up the road a piece.